Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, look if you would, starting at verse 20. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. Paul says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign, till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that putteth all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning again, Lord, for these folks that have come out, Lord, to hear the word of God preached and to spend some time, Lord, worshiping you. And Lord, again, on this Memorial Day weekend, Father, I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, Lord, and that we had people that were willing to give their life, Lord, for the freedoms of this country. And even still today, Lord, there are soldiers that have given their lives for this country. And I pray, Lord, that you'll comfort their families. Lord, I pray that as a nation that we remember, Lord, the price that was paid for our freedoms, that, Lord, that we don't take our freedoms for granted, and, Lord, that we don't choose to give our freedoms up for nothing. And, Father, I just pray that you'll be with the leaders of this country, Lord, and help them make the right decisions for this country. But, Lord, I just pray that the day will be a day of remembrance, not only when it comes to our soldiers, but also when it comes to the way you gave your life for us. And Father, I pray that you'll bless the message this morning, Lord, and if there is somebody here today that has never received you as their Savior, Lord, they've never called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, Lord, help them to understand that if they die in their sins, Lord, that they're condemned already, and Lord, that they will not see heaven. Lord, and I just pray that everybody here, Lord, by the end of this service could be able to say that heaven is their home and that they know that if they were to die, that they will go to heaven. Lord, I pray that they'll be so today. And Father, I pray that as Christians, help us to grow closer to you through your word. Help us to be attentive to your word, Lord. Help us to stay focused on it, not be disturbed by anything, Father, and that if as Christians we'll get right with you if we need to be. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Memorial Day is much more than just a three-day weekend, even though there are many today, you know, who to them it's just you know, a three-day weekend where they get off of work, where they can go camping or fishing or whatever it may be. There are many today who still appreciate the significance of Memorial Day. And really, there's nothing more. You know, when it comes to celebrating Memorial Day, we need to understand what it's all about. And, you know, a lot of times people get mixed up between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Veterans Day is when we remember all the veterans. And certainly I'm thankful for every veteran in here today. I'm thankful for anybody who's ever served in here today. But Memorial Day is about those who gave their lives. And that's what it's about. It was originally called Decoration Day because it was a tradition to decorate the graves of those who died in the war between the states. But after World War I, it was expanded to include all those who died in any military action in this country. And of course, it has always been observed on the final Monday of May. Now, it doesn't matter really how you feel about war, for any war for that matter, But whatever you believe about war, every American owes a great debt to every man and woman who ever gave their lives for this country. Amen. And there are way too many people that take those things for granted, that forget the privilege that we enjoy today, that were preserved and gained by those people who paid the ultimate price for our country. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Freedom is not free. It never has been free. And I'm thankful for those who gave their lives, and I pray that perhaps the day will come where we won't have to continue to give our lives for this freedom. I'm just going to tell you on a personal basis, that's the reason why that I have a hard time dealing with people that want to just give away our rights. A heavy price was paid for those rights. And I grew up listening to stories from my grandfather when they landed on the beaches of Normandy. And I heard how my grandfather described those soldiers that come on that beach. And he said that he saw all of his friends that he had known for 4 years. And it looked like somebody was just taking it was almost like somebody was taking a weed whacker and just mowing them down. People he had known for years. And he was telling me about all the stories that happened and all the things that happened and all the soldiers that died. And I, you know, to think that this country would give up any freedoms after the price was paid. We need to be thankful for those who gave their lives. And so Memorial Day is that day that we celebrate those who gave our lives. It's a day when we remember and recognize and revere every man and woman who died serving and protecting our nation. And in much the same way, we think about the dead on Memorial Day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is also remembering the dead. He is specifically thinking about those who died in the Lord. Now, in verse 29 of our text, we have one of the most debated statements in the entire Bible. There are ideas and theories all over the place about what Paul meant when he spoke about the baptizing for the dead. And this morning I want to show you what that means and how it relates to the day that we remember the dead. Now, notice with me in verses 20 through 23 that Paul speaks about the resurrection of the dead. Look at verse 20. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death," now we know that's talking about Adam, "by man also came the resurrection of the dead," that's Jesus Christ. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, again, you've heard me say this many, many times, but if you really want to underline something in that passage, underline the words "in Christ," because that is so important for you to be in Christ. Hey, listen, if you have been born physically, and I look around, and obviously everybody's been born physically in here this morning, amen? I mean, if you're here and you're breathing, you've been born physically. But that Bible says you've got to be born again. You were born in Adam. Now, because you were born in Adam, you are a sinner. And you sin because you're a sinner. That's the reason you sin. You have a natural bent towards sin because that was passed down from Adam. Death was passed down from Adam. That's the reason why it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We know that everybody's going to die. That's just a part of life. It's just as much a part of life as it is being born. Amen? And so that's because of Adam. You're in Adam. Everybody in here is in Adam because you were born physically. But if you've been born again, then you've been placed in Christ. So if you're saved here today, then you're in Christ. Listen, that is so important because if you're not in Christ, then it means you're still in Adam, which means you will face the second death and you will be placed in the lake of fire when this whole thing is over with. But if you're in Christ, you are safe. Why? Because He's absolutely holy. That's what keeps you saved. Once you're saved is you're placed in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we are baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. The moment you got saved, that's how you got there. And so today, if you're saved, you're in Christ. And so it's very important that you understand that. And so Paul here, he's speaking about the resurrection from the dead. And I'll tell you this, I'm thankful that one of these days I will arise from the dead. Amen? You know, it's like the hymn written by Ira Sankey entitled Resurrection Morn. It says this: "On the resurrection morning, soul and body meet again. No more sorrow, no more weeping, no more pain. Here a while they must be parted, and the flesh its Sabbath keep, waiting in holy stillness, wrapped in sleep. For a space the tired body waits in peace the morning's dawn, when there breaks the last, the brightest, Eastern morn. On that happy Eastern morning, all the graves are dead to restore. Father, mother, sister, brother, meet once more. soul and body reunited, henceforth nothing shall divide, waking up in Christ's own likeness, satisfied. I'm looking forward to that day. There will be a resurrection morning when all the dead who have died as believers will be raised from the dead. That's a great truth, folks. That's one of the greatest truths in that Bible. What a comfort knowing that when we say goodbye in this life to those that we love who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that one day there'll be a resurrection of those who are in Christ and we'll all meet again. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the guarantee of the believer's resurrection. Look at verse 20. Paul said that Christ in his resurrection became the first fruits of them that slept. Whenever you read in the Bible, it talks about people sleeping. It's not talking about soul sleep. It's talking about people, when it says sleeping, that means that they're dead. Okay? In other words, we know as believers to be absent from the body, to be dead, is to be in the presence of the Lord. But your body goes to the grave. Now listen, we got to understand, we have body, soul, and spirit. And when a person dies, his body goes to the grave the same way that Jesus Christ's body was placed in the sepulcher. Okay? Spirit goes back to God. And the soul, that's what we're concerned about this morning, is where's your soul going to go? Now, if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when you die, your soul will go to hell. Okay? You open your eyes in hell. But if you receive Jesus Christ and you're saved, then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? So what does that mean? That means everybody who has been saved, when they died, their soul is present with the Lord at this very moment. If you die and you're saved, then you're going to be right there present with the Lord at that very moment. Isn't that a comforting thing? Amen. I mean, do you realize as a believer, you don't have to fear death? I mean, the only thing you got to say, you know what? When I close my eyes, when I open them again, there's Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I tell you what. And I'll tell you this, once you get on the other side, you're like, boy, this is great. Amen? And so that's what we have to look forward to. But one of these days, we're going to come up out of the grave. In other words, the body that we place there, it's going to be changed. And we're going to get a new body. And the soul's going to get back in this new body. And we're going to be the perfect body, perfect soul, perfect spirit. And everything's going to be great. Why? Because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And he's called the first fruits of them that slept. Now, in the Bible speaks of Jesus being the firstborn of Mary, the first begotten of the Father, an only begotten of the Father, the firstborn of every creature, the first begotten of the dead, firstborn among many brethren, and firstfruits of the resurrected ones. Christ's resurrection from the dead is the guarantee that all those who die in Christ will also share in his resurrection, being raised from the dead. If Jesus is not coming, if he doesn't come in my lifetime, there will be a day when they will lay this body in the grave. However, my body won't stay there. It won't stay there. There'll come a day when Christ will return and the grave will be opened up and this body will be given up and this body will be changed into a new one. And just like Christ's body arose from the dead, my body will also rise from the dead. His resurrection was the first of many who would be resurrected. There will be, as the old timers used to say, a great getting up morning. That's just going to happen, folks. The body of a believer may lie in some unmarked grave this morning, but the Lord knows where all the bodies of his children are. And one of these days, those graves will open. I think of people like John Wycliffe, and a man who stood against the teachings of the Catholic Church, and he even wrote the Wycliffe Bible from the received text, which was not the text that the Catholic Church used. In fact, the Wycliffe Bible is in line with your King James Bible that you have today. The Catholic Church hated Wycliffe so much for what he did that after Wycliffe died, they dug up his remains and burned him and then threw his ashes into the River Swift. And I've had people come up and say, well, how's the Lord going to do that? How's the Lord going to raise Wycliffe? May I tell you that when God created Adam, he created Adam from the dust of the ground. And the Bible says that God knows the number of the very hairs on your head. How many of you understand that there's nothing too great for God to do? Hey, listen, Wycliffe's ashes may be spread all the way through the River Swift and out in the ocean by now, but God knows where every one of them are. And he could raise them just like that. Why? God could do anything. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're a believer, one of these days you're going to come up out of your grave. Now, we all hope that the Lord comes back before we die. We hope that, you know, we get to see the rapture. We all hope for that. But the truth of the matter is, the chances are you're going to die. Amen? But you don't have to fear that Because you're going to come up out of that grave one of these days. You know the greatest thing is? Is not only will you come up out of the grave, and not only will your loved ones who believe come up out of the grave, but once you see them again, you never have to say goodbye again. You know, when you say, it's good to see you, you never have to say goodbye again. And that's what I'm looking forward to. You say, how's that possible? It's possible because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. Don't you understand that the very reason that you're going to come up out of the grave is because Jesus Christ came up out of the grave. You say, how does that work? Because Jesus Christ, when he came out of the grave, it proved that he is who he said he was. Listen, he looked there at Philip and says, listen, when you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And it says that he was the express image of the Father. And he said that before Abraham was, I am. He took that name of I am. You say, what does that mean? That means Jesus Christ is God. And listen, when he said that, when he made these claims, everybody was scoffing and people made fun of him. But listen, when he come up out of that grave, that proved that he was who he said he was. And when he come up out of that grave, not only proved that it was who he said he was, but it proved that every single word that he said is the truth. Because God doesn't lie. And it's his words that said that one of these days those graves will open and we'll be resurrected. Those are his words. Because he come up out of that grave, you're going to come up out of that grave one day too. And what kind of body are we going to have when we come out of that grave? Well, look if you would at verse 35. It says, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Notice that Paul describes two different bodies here. Look at verse 40. He says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is one. Paul here describes that the body that we have now and the body that we will have in the future as believers. The bodies that we have now are terrestrial bodies. Terrestrial means belonging or relating to earth. Okay, it's our earthly bodies. The bodies we have now are fleshly bodies, blood and bones. But on resurrection day, when we get our new bodies, they won't be like the bodies we have today. Now, I don't know about you, but that, you know, I'm kind of happy about that. Amen. I mean, when I look at myself, I'm thinking, boy, I need something new. Amen. And I know I certainly feel that way. I know a lot of you today feel that way and say, you know what, I cannot wait to get my new body. Because I tell you what, folks, it's not going to be the same as the bodies we have now. A celestial body means belonging or relating to heaven. And our new bodies will be heavenly bodies. And whereas today we have flesh and blood and bones in this earthly body, our celestial body will be different. Notice in verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means this flesh right here will not go to heaven. This flesh will not go to heaven. You know why? Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for your soul, not for your flesh. Today, as a Christian, we still all sin. Amen? If you think you don't sin, then you just sinned. Because you just lied. The Bible says that he that says without sin is a liar. All right? So we know that we all sin, but Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for our soul. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that your soul does not sin because it's placed in Christ. But boy, this flesh still does. And guess what? That Bible still says the wages of sin is death. Now, for the unsaved, that's concerning your soul as well. But for the saved, we've been placed in Christ. Our soul's been placed in Christ. But we still sin. So guess what? Because we still sin, this flesh has to pay that wage. It's going to die. And it will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's sinful. Nothing makes it into heaven that's sinful. Amen? You got to be perfectly righteous to make it in heaven. That's the reason you're placed in Christ. Listen, when God looks down at one of these days, when we all stand before the throne, God's going to look at you, and if you're saved and you're in Christ, you know what he's going to see? Not your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. What he's going to see is the righteousness of Christ. And you'll be able to enter in. Amen? But if you're not in Christ, you're still in this flesh. And you're in Adam. and you haven't been saved, listen, at that point, you won't be able to be allowed in. And you'll be thrown in a lake of fire. Listen, this flesh is going to the grave because it owes the wage. And it's going to go in the grave. This flesh will never inherit the kingdom of heaven. It'll never inherit the kingdom of God. You say, well, wait a second. What, aren't you going to have a body? Yes, a celestial one, a new one, a sinless one. That's what I'm going to get. And that's what's going to come up out of that grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about a rapture where the corruptible puts on incorruptible. And we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. The other passages is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talking about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that those of us that are alive and remain shall go up and meet the Lord in the air. It's what we call the two rapture chapters of the Bible. And it's talking about how one of these days this terrestrial body will be changed into a celestial body, so that way we meet the Lord in the air and we can go to heaven in body, soul, and spirit, perfect with God. Amen? Now that's what we have to look forward to. But right now all we have is a terrestrial body. But on resurrection morning, you'll get your celestial body. Now, this body will be different. Turn if you would over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to show you kind of what this body's going to be like. Oh, I think you're going to like this too. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now in Luke chapter 24, Jesus has already risen from the dead. He's risen from the grave and he's standing there with his disciples. And look if you would at verse 37. Luke 24, 37, it says, "But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself." Now get this. They're looking at him. They're scared to death because, I mean, he rose from the dead. Last time they saw him, he was hanging on the cross and he was dead. Now he's standing right there in front of them and he says, "Why are you afraid of for?" And he holds out his hands and he says, "Behold my hands and my feet. By the way, what would they have seen? The holes in his hands and the holes in his feet." And he says, "Listen, it's me. Why are you scared for?" He said, "Why are you troubled and why do the thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." You say, what's so important about that? There are people today that say when the Lord raised, he didn't raise bodily, he was just a spirit went up. Oh no, right there he said, "Listen, feel in me and understand that spirit don't have flesh and bones." And so they feel it and it's like, hey, this is a real body. Yes, but it's not the same body you had before. Now listen, you know what that Bible says in 1 John? Bible says this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear on rapture day, we shall be like him." You know what that means? That means, you know, the body that he had, we're going to have the same body. Same thing. It's going to be different. It's not going to be the same as one before. Our body's going to be just like the bodies of Jesus Christ that those disciples saw there in Luke chapter 24, a celestial body, a body of bones and flesh. Not only will our new bodies be celestial bodies, but also be incorruptible. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41, it says, "There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." You say, what does that mean? Well, listen, when you sow something, you plant it. Amen? I mean, you sow seed, you put it in the ground, and it comes back up. It says it was sowed in corruption. In other words, when they lay this body down, it is a sinful body, and they're going to put it in a grave because it's a sinful body. But when it's raised, it won't be the same one. You see, it was buried in sin, but when it comes back up, it'll be perfect. Because it'd be changed into a body that, you know, one of the things I look forward to more than anything else, seriously, is to have a body, a soul, and a spirit to where they're perfect, and I don't have to worry about sin anymore. I don't have to worry about having a thought that I shouldn't have, or something to come across my mind that shouldn't be there. or the temptation to do wicked. I mean, don't you hate that? I mean, every time you're trying to live for the Lord, you're trying to do things right, and all of a sudden something comes in your mind, you're like, whoa, where did that come from? And you know, or all of a sudden you're driving along and all of a sudden you're tempted, you're like, what in the world? I can't even go that long without being tempted. Hey, I'm going to tell you, one of these days when you get that new body, temptation's going to be over. Sin's going to be over. You won't have to worry about that anymore. Every thought that you have will be pure thoughts. Boy, am I looking forward to that. Amen? Pure thoughts. And it's going to be incorruptible. Look at verse 3, or 53. It says, for this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Hey, you know what that means? That means once you get this new body, you'll live forever. This body, the new body you get, will not die. Paul is saying that this body will be perfect. You can say goodbye to all the things that you don't like about your body now. Amen? Things like glasses and false teeth and hearing aids and bald heads, things like that. It's going to be all over with, folks. Hey, listen, you're getting a brand new body. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You don't have to worry about waking up in the morning and sounding like Rice Krispie Treats. Snap, crackle, and pop. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the pains. You know, as we grow older, all of a sudden we start to get pains in places we never knew that we had anymore. You know, I mean, when we were young, we could do everything. Had the big S on our chest, didn't we? Yes, we could swing from trees. We can run. We could fall. Go outside without jackets on, not caring about anything. Get injured, not a problem. But then when you start to grow older, you start to pay for a lot of those things you did when you were a kid. Right. Amen? Amen? And then all of a sudden, things don't work like they used to. Things don't feel like they used to. And the older you get, it does not get any better. Just letting you know. Amen? Not on this side of eternity. But one of these days, if you want to run forever, you can run forever. One of these days, if you want to, you get up, you're going to feel good all the time. In fact, you won't even have to get up because you'll be feeling good all the time. Amen? That's your new body. How many of you are looking forward to that thing? I tell you this, I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me from my sins, that I'm going to heaven, and I'll get to see His face forever. That's the number one thing I'm thankful for. But boy, I tell you what, that body sure is a good fringe benefit, ain't it? It's a good fringe benefit. We get to look forward to that. Our body's going to be changed, and it'll be incorruptible. Not only that, but it'll be a powerful body. In 1 Corinthians 15:43, it says, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. See, our body right now is weak. Even us at our strongest, really, we're weak. But I tell you what, we'll be raised in power. Our new bodies will not be weak like they are now. They'll be powerful. They won't be sickly. They won't be fragile. They won't be susceptible to diseases. We'll be able to run without getting tired. Our new bodies will be powerful. You say, well, I don't understand how this could be. I don't understand how we could die and then be raised up this brand new, incredible, powerful celestial body. Well, that's the reason Paul said in verse 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. It's a mystery. You say, I don't understand. It's because it's a mystery. It's hard to understand. You know, by the way, when I was an associate pastor years back, we had that verse on our nursery door. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I never will forget that. Paul wasn't talking about changing diapers, though. He was talking about the glorious change of the believer's body that'll take place. And he said it was a mystery. Sort of reminds me of Winston Churchill had said that when he planned his funeral, he instructed at a certain point that a bugler would play taps. But then as soon as the bugler finished, another was to answer with revelry immediately afterwards. In other words, it's time to taps and then it's time to wake up. Praise God, one of these days we'll be getting up from the grave. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. So Paul talked about the resurrection of the dead. And then secondly, notice with me that Paul not only speaks about the resurrection of the dead, he also speaks about the remembrance of the dead. Notice in verse 29, Paul says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now here Paul is thinking about the dead. In fact, three times he mentions the dead in verse 29. Now the dead that he's remembering here are a specific class of the dead. He is remembering those who have been baptized into Christ's death, And he's remembering those who have been saved. Now, all people die. We know that. When it comes to death, there are no exceptions. You can't run from death. You can't hide from death. None of us can escape death. And everybody needs to be prepared to die. You say, well, how does somebody be prepared to die? Well, certainly we know that you should have a will. We know that, you know, you should have your house in order. We know that plans should be made when that time comes. And you know, many of us have not been zealous in those areas, but you should be. You should be. But to truly be prepared to die, you must be born again. That's to truly be prepared to die. You know, if you really think about it, where the rubber meets the road, when we go out and we tell others about Jesus Christ, you know what we're doing? We're trying to give them an opportunity to prepare themselves for death. That's what we're doing. Because that, like I said, that Bible makes it very clear that we're all going to die one of these days. And people need to prepare for that. In fact, you have your entire life on this earth to prepare to die. Everybody does. Now, we don't know how long we're going to live on this earth. But the time that we have is the time that we are to prepare to die. And even though we are to prepare as far as wills and plans like that, everybody's prepared for the time when they close their eyes in death, because everybody will either go to heaven or they will go to hell. And if you are not prepared to die, then when you open up your eyes after death, you will be in hell. So what do? We tell everybody about the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can prepare themselves, so they can do what needs to be done in order to go to heaven. You say, what's that? That means that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that you call upon him for salvation. And if you call him to save your soul, he will. And the moment he saves you, then you are prepared to die. But until that happens, you are not prepared to die. Listen, this morning, if you are not prepared to die, you better get prepared, because death is coming. And you don't know when he's going to be knocking at your door. And he doesn't care who you are, what you've done, how great you've done, how horrible you've done. He is not a respecter of persons. He's going to take every one of us if the Lord doesn't come back first. Now the question is this: are you prepared for when that day comes? Are you prepared to die? Listen, folks. If you've not received Jesus Christ, you need to receive him this morning and be prepared. Now, some people, what they do is they try to block the thoughts of dying and pretend that it'll not happen. But the time will come. The time will come. And if you're unsaved, you are unprepared this morning. Now, as for me, I'm glad that I got that settled years and years ago. I'll tell you this, I can worry about a lot of things today, and I'm not condoning worrying. Worrying's bad. Worrying's a lack of faith. Worrying doesn't please God. But the one thing that I don't have to worry about is I don't have to worry about dying. When the time comes, folks, I know exactly where I'm going to be. It's either I'm going to be in heaven or this Bible lied to me. I've got everything. I've got everything resting on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, I believe he's God. He arose from the dead. He proved that he was God. And I tell you this, the one who has the keys to heaven is the one who will let me in, because he said so. Yeah. And if you trusted in Jesus Christ, you're going to make it there too. That's going to be your home. You don't have to fear death when it comes. You're prepared to die. Can you say this morning that you're prepared to die? Now, what is Paul talking about here in verse 29? When he says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Well, like I said before, it does not mean that people are baptized on behalf of other people. Listen, when you get baptized, what you're doing, when you get baptized in water, what you're doing is you're showing the death Christ died to save you, and you're showing how you were baptized into his death, and you're going to raise up from the dead one of these days like he did. That's what it means. And so when you baptize, that's what you're showing. When you get baptized, you don't get baptized for other people. You get baptized for you and to please God. Okay? It has nothing to do about being baptized for somebody else. You say, well, then how come it says here that else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? There are some people who say, listen, if you get baptized in this water today, maybe the Lord will have mercy on your loved ones who died before. That's a false teaching. Listen, the only people that are going to make it to heaven are the people who receive Jesus Christ. And listen, it's their choice and it's your choice. That's the reason everybody must receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, as much as I'd love to, there's nothing I can do to save you. There's nothing I could do. I could be baptized 100 times and it ain't going to do anything for your soul. You have to receive Jesus Christ. I can't, believe me, if I could, I would. Especially when it comes to when it came to my kids, we all want our kids to go to heaven, amen. Hey, any parent in this room would do whatever they could do to get their kids to heaven. We wish we could, but there's nothing we can do to get somebody else saved. But the only thing we can do is tell them the gospel and pray that they will get saved. But here he says, "Else, what shall we do? Which are baptized for the dead?" What in the world is he talking about there? Well, turn over to Romans chapter 6, and I'll show you what he's talking about. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking to saved people. And he's talking about what happened to them when they got saved. And if you can understand Romans chapter 6, you'll have no problems understanding what Paul was talking about back there in 1 Corinthians 15. In Romans chapter 6, look if you would at verse 3. Paul says this: "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." In other words, if we're buried like him and we're saved, we're going to be raised just like he did. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Now these verses here are telling you that the moment you got saved, you were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. And because you've been baptized into Christ and in his death, one of these days, because Christ arose from the dead, you too will rise from the dead, just like he did. Verse 8 there, it says, "For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Now, remember over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were people that believed that there were no such thing as a resurrection. And so Paul was teaching them the importance of the resurrection of Christ, because Christ, if Christ did not arise from the dead, the bottom line is this: we won't either. If he did not come up out of that grave, folks, then we're not going to come up out of the grave either. So Paul says this: "Else, what shall we do which are baptized for the dead?" In other words, the dead being Christ. If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? In other words, if Christ who died did not arise from the dead, what is the point of us as a believer ever being baptized in Christ's death then? In other words, if he didn't come up out of the grave, if he's not who he said he was, what's the point of us ever being baptized at all? It would be meaningless. It'd be meaningless to write about us being baptized into his death if he didn't come up. Don't you understand that the fact because he come up means everything? That's the reason whenever we have Easter Sunday morning, when you talk about the resurrection of Christ, that is the number one greatest thing that has ever happened to this earth, is when Christ come up out of that grave. Now listen, I love Christmas. I love celebrating Christmas. And I love Christmas presents. And if you want to give me Christmas presents this Christmas, make sure you do. Put me on your list. Amen. And I like to think about the birth of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. But boy, I tell you what, the resurrection of Christ means everything to us. Amen. The resurrection of Christ is part of the gospel. You got to believe he rose from the dead. The resurrection of Christ, listen, because it happened, one of these days you're going to come up out of that grave too. That's when we come up out of that grave, we'll be rejoicing. You know why? Because we come out of the grave the same way he come out of the grave, and we get to be with him forever. That's how important it is. And so when Paul talks about this, he's saying, listen, if Christ didn't come up from the grave, then we're all just sitting here wasting our time. So he talks about not only the resurrection of the dead, not only the remembrance of the dead, he also talks about the recurring of the dead. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look if you would at verse 30. And Paul says this: "And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Paul was saying, I have put my old man or my flesh to death every day. He's not talking about dying physically. He's saying, listen, every day I have to put something to death. I have to put something to death. And you say, what in the world is he putting to death? He's saying, I'm putting the old man, who I was. I have to put that to death every day. In fact, the Bible says we are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know what mortify means? It means put to death. In other words, what we're to do as Christians, we are to live and walk the way the Lord wants us to walk. We are to live pleasing Him. The Lord said, be ye holy for I am holy. Now listen, if we're going to be holy like He's holy, then we need to put to death parts of our lives that are just tripping us up left and right. Amen? In other words, if you're tempted at doing something and you're always around it, put that to death. Don't do it anymore. If you say, you know what, I have this unforgiveness in my heart, you know what you need to do? Start forgiving. Put that unforgiveness to death. All these things that we have that we put up with every day, we have to put them to death. And by the way, just because you put them to death today, guess what? They're going to be back tomorrow. The same temptation is going to be back tomorrow. The same flaws that you have are going to be back tomorrow. The sins, that besetting sin that keeps on getting you all the time, hey, it's going to rear its ugly head tomorrow too. And you say, well, what do I do? Keep on putting those things to death every day. Paul said, I die daily. And if you do that, then you'll be able to say, I'm holy as Christ is holy. Or, I'm trying to live the life that Christ wants me to live. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin. That doesn't mean that you're not going to mess up. But what it does mean is this, rather than yielding to the flesh and doing what the flesh wants to do all the time, and rather than doing those things that you know that aren't right, you can put those things to death every day and you can live a life that pleases the Lord. What we like to do is we like to give those things more power. You see, what we like to do is we like to feed the flesh. What we like to do is when we know that there is something that's messing with us and we know that there's something that is tripping us up in our walk with the Lord, what we do is we keep on feeding it and make it stronger. He said, put it to death. That's what we're to do. And Paul here, when he talks about putting it to death, he's talking about putting his old man to death. Listen, we're a new creature. We're not the same as we used to be. Problem is, rather than putting to death the old nature and dying daily, many Christians, they just feel like they can handle those temptations. They feel they can handle the things that they shouldn't look at, and they think they can handle the things that they shouldn't listen to, and they can handle hanging around people they shouldn't hang around with. But Paul says that we need to put that old nature to death. On this weekend, when we remember those who have died for the liberties that we have in this country, we also need to think about our own death that will come one day. The Bible tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. And if you're not saved here today, believe me, you are not ready to die. You need to be born again so that you'll go to heaven when you die. You need to be forgiven of your sins so that you one of these days you'll be raised incorruptible. But if you are born again, then you just remember this. One of these days, you are going to rise from the dead just like Jesus. And one of these days, you are going to have a new incorruptible body that's perfect just like Jesus. But at the same time, one of these days, when all that happens, you will stand before that throne. And you will give an answer for everything that you did after you got saved, and whether it glorified God or whether it glorified you. Paul says, I die daily. You know why Paul said that? Because he wanted to stand before the Lord without being ashamed. He wanted to stand before the Lord and say, I have fought the good fight of faith. And I finished my course. And so what he do every day, he died to himself. He put to death the deeds of the flesh. He did that every day. You need to do that too. Because the day is coming, folks, when we're all going to rise from the dead. Now we all look forward to come up out of that grave. And we all look forward to that new body. We all look forward to seeing all those loved ones who were saved and they're up in heaven right now. We look forward to all that. But we all should be looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. But the question is how many really are here today? How many of you really are? Don't raise your hand. Don't shake your head. If you're here this morning and you're not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, then there's probably something wrong with the life that you're living. Because think about this. To be able to stand before the Lord and honor Him with what's been given to you is the greatest honor that you could ever have in this life. Think about that. Of all the things that you're going to be able to do when you go to heaven, nothing is going to compare with you having an opportunity to honor the Lord by placing a crown at His feet. Amen? Amen? We all should be looking forward to that. But most Christians, if they were honest, would say, I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. You know why? Because you know what the things that you're doing today, the things that you're allowing in your life today are not pleasing to God. Get right with God and stand before the judgment seat one of these days with confidence and saying, I fought a good fight of faith. I finished my course. I put to death the flesh. I lived for the Lord. I did what He told me to do. I went out and told people about Jesus Christ. I told people about the gospel. I invited people to church. I was faithful. I did these things. I fought the good fight of faith. And that will be the greatest day that you'll ever live, is when you get to stand before the Lord. But if you're not looking forward to it, if you say, you know what, I want to get my new body and everything, but I can't wait to come up out of the grave one of these days, but I'm just not looking forward to that judgment seat. Then change your ways today. Change your ways today and start to look forward to that judgment seat of Christ. Remember, one day you will die, and one day you will be raised from the dead. Let's stand.